The essence of the light is to guide our walk. There can be problems outside us. There must not be problem within. Don't protect corruption. Don't edge corruption. Don't face corruption. Expose it. Let light shine on it.
The words that I speak unto you are spirit and life, meant to make you grow. The light of God shines in every heart that desires to know God in His true nature. You are welcome to this divine feast at the table of the Lord as we journey from one level of faith to another by the revelation of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Through His minister, we believe you'll be richly blessed.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Father.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
For I am love.
Yes.
I am love. I am love. I am the definition of love. Yes. Yes, and I have loved you. I have loved you. Oh, for there is a love I have for you. There is a love that is in me that I have for you. Oh, anytime you are gathered in my presence, it is for to pour out my love upon you. It is for to express my love to you. It is to awaken communion because I long for you. I long for you. I long for you, for you are a being of love. You are forged even from the very heart of love. You are meant for love. Your heart is meant for love. Your heart is meant for love. For you see, when you receive my love, your love responds back to me. It is to call forth love even from your soul. Yes, yes, respond to my love. For all that I have put together, even for your salvation, they are all expressions of my love. The expressions of my love. My coming to you is an expression of my love. My visitation is an expression. For I am mindful of you. I am mindful. My mind is full of you. That is why I visit you. For you are in a time of visitation again. I will be visiting you again even today. I have come even to visit you again. And when I visit, I don't come empty-handed. I come with myself. I come with my presence. I come even with my light. I come even to set light upon your heart, to make you see anew, to make you see. For when you see, you love. When you see, you love. When you see, love is called forth from your heart. That you might see me anew today. I have come even to visit you, to visit you, to visit you, and shed my love upon your heart, that all your heart can begin to respond to me, that all your soul and all your might can be love expressed even to me. I will call you to respond. I will cause you to respond. I will cause all of your heart even to respond to my love in this season. Receive all of my love. I am shedding it again even upon your heart so that you can love me with all your heart, all your soul, and all your might.
Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you for your mercies. Thank you for how you've been helping us. Thank you for how you've been guiding us, helping us to glean here a little, there a little, opening the person of our Lord Jesus to us. It is a honor and a privilege which you have bestowed upon us, and we are grateful. We give you all the praise in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Lord God Almighty, please, let the mercy of this hour rest upon us.
Amen.
Thank you for blessing us today. Let your breath, O God, speak.
Amen.
I don't I don't want to look at the manner you want to say it, you want to do it. But whichever way you want to bring it, Lord, help all of us to be blessed. Amen. Give hearts staying power. Let hearts follow. And let all, Lord, receive the cup of the blessing of today. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. I find my place. I stay in my place. I have a place. I stay in it. Lord, under your sent ones, our parents and the Lord, I find my place. Lord, under the pastorate of Eternal Life Embassy, I find my place. Lord, under the lead pastor of this assembly, Lord, please help me minister from my place. The place where you put me, I find grace to be faithful. Bless us today. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Okay, so the current season upon us has put a magnifying lens upon our hearts. And we don't go a long time without having a check these days. It's not just easy to just go your way, except you are not following. And I know that we are all following, Abby. And we don't just find it easy to just travel and not have a check. But you know, where God is taking us to is where we'll always be on constant alert. Constant alert. Bringing our thoughts under. Bringing our bodies under. Bringing our will under. That's where God is taking us to. Because he wants us to be an ever sacrifice to him. It's the said of Jesus that he continually makes sacrifice. Can you imagine? So for Jesus to be continually making that sacrifice, that means he's continually pleasing the Father. His entire being is pleasing him. Praise God. So let's see some scriptures that our daddy has opened up to us. And we'll just see how the Lord will help us. I'm not going to say anything outside what daddy has said. I will just see how we can corroborate, you know, what has been said, right? I know Wednesday teaching was quite simple, but at the same time, it wasn't as simple as that, right? So daddy from Sunday, God so kind, God's servant, our pastor, felt led that we should stream Akure directly. In fact, I was going to say, before daddy said that, about the School of Life today. You know, there was a way a lot of words came, and the human brain actually, you know, taking those words. In fact, a time came during the teaching, I had to withdraw and get into a place so that I can get the mind of the teaching. And if we don't do that, sometimes we need to recline, because if it's coming fast like that, you may just miss out on the thoughts. And that was why daddy had to, you know, come back again. And he has told us that we should go back to it. He said we should smoke it. Praise God. You know, when Francis was praying this morning and he asked that the Lord will grant us grace for second hearing. That hear twice grace. It is needed. You know, one of the reasons why it's not easy for us to hear a second time is because we are doing many things. And we don't want our many things to be affected. But if you really look at the things that matter, the things that actually matter in your day, you see that there are some times in the day that you don't do things that matter. Is that one that you use to exercise what you want? Is that the one that they want to take? So thank God for this Bible reading. Ha! Today's zone. It was so strong. Eh? It wasn't easy. Abby, was it easy?
That book of Numbers, you can, even when thinking, that Leviticus, I see that Leviticus, so you slay, I'll just be seeing blood, slash it. This one is number you are seeing. You know? But it's making me see how detailed God is. God is detailed. If he knows how many hair are on your head, that God is detailed. Some of us just say, in the presence of God, anything goes. Anything does not go. It doesn't just go like that. God is concerned about every aspect of our life. I'm telling you, sometimes we think that this one is for me. This one is for God. Some of our brethren have decided that they will separate business from church. Please, my brother, there's another pedestal we will meet. That platform is business. If we bring in God to everything we do, everything is one. Because God is concerned. Some of us that have started losing hair in the front, all those hair, God knows the number. When you meet him, I'm just saying, God knows you. He knows what's happening with you. Lai? God knows what's happening with you. He knows your needs, right? He will take care of us, right? If you feel, oh, I'm ill, why is God not? Why am I always falling sick? Why am I sickly? God is aware. Have you spoken to him about it? Have you just talked with him that, God, why do I fall sick? I observed early last year or so, that before I started sitting on a particular seat in my office, I didn't used to fall sick often. Praise God. I didn't used to fall sick often. But as soon as I was on that seat, I was falling sick more often. Then I now decided to move away from that seat. Then I stopped falling sick often. Then I now found out what was causing it. It was cold. Because I waited on it. And the Lord drew my attention. They change the seat. So now they forced me back to that seat now. She is seeing me now. But now I'm shielding myself. I'm off. Putting all the pashmina and everything. Praise the Lord. The love of God. You know, Daddy was saying it. I think it was on Sunday. That Yoruba, he said they got it accurately. When they said, Ife. Ife is love, and Ife is what? Is will. So where the seat of your love is actually in your will. Is at your will that you will determine who I love and who I don't love. And scripture says you cannot serve two masters. It did not say you may not or you will not. It said you cannot. So that person that you pick at that point is either yourself or the Lord. So you either hate yourself and love the Lord. You must pick one. And the season that we are in is a season where the Lord is helping us to say, I bring before you life and death. And I'm begging you, please choose life. So he's not forcing it on us. You know, one thing that Daddy said on Wednesday is that some of us just want it to be that. Especially on Sundays, when we come to church on Sunday, we are just, you know, enamored by God's presence. And we just wish that by the time I go outside, this is how it will continue. It may not be like that, but it can be like that as time goes on. It depends on our choices. It depends on our choices. What choices? Because your choice is actually your will. I choose this. I will to have this. So the seat of what we love is our will. So when the scripture says, consider Jesus, they are trying to tell us that let Jesus be the choice. So as we keep on picking him, choosing Jesus per time, we are letting go, shedding our will per time. In that little space, we have used our will so much that sometimes we don't even know when we are exercising it. We just do it. The essence of knowledge coming to us is for us to know when, that point where this is your will. How, if not, how come when Peter came to Jesus and Jesus has said that we have to go to the cross, I will have to die and everything, and he was vividly telling them about his suffering. And Peter took him aside and started talking to him. If Jesus has not exercised the will of the Father, Jesus would have just followed him and said, "Well, don't worry, Peter. Don't worry, don't worry. That's what the Father wants, so it's okay, it's okay." He would have indulged him. Jesus knew that it's either the will of the Father or my will. And he said, "Get thee behind me, Satan. You savor the things of men, not the things that be of God. You are choosing the things of men." So Satan has woven will, woven us, his will in us. So when you say man, man is not supposed to be one that we exercise a will outside the will of God. Even in the garden, when God met Adam, he gave him choices. He said, "You can eat from the trees, but there is a tree you shouldn't eat from. Don't eat from that tree." He gave him a choice. But he said, "I've given you the right one. You pick." But eventually, he did not follow the will. But when God came, he said, "Where are you? Adam, where are you?" Adam has started exercising his will at that point. Because he could have as well said, "Lord, you said we should not eat from this tree. I have eaten from it. What do I do?" But the knowledge of how to use his will just came to him. Praise God. So God knew that this thing is no more. If I force him, if I force Adam, it will not be sweet anymore. I need to let him go so that he will find his way back to me. Amen. So let's see that Isaiah chapter 53. One of the scriptures that Daddy has really hammered on, verse 10. "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him." It what? "It pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand." Amen. No, this is a great testimony, and it's talking about our Lord Jesus Christ. It pleased the Lord to bruise Jesus. Now, you can imagine this kind of person. One of the reasons why we keep our will is because we don't want to be bruised. I don't want pain. I want it to be sweet according to how I like it. But it pleased the Lord to bruise him, to take him against his convenience. He had put him to grief. This is the will of God for Jesus. God himself, the Lord, put him to grief. "When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin." So is this process that was able to make him an offering for sin? You know what led us to will? It was when Daddy was talking about offerings and sacrifices. Daddy is a wonderful man. Amen. "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He had put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin." So you see, this, he said, "A body has thou prepared me," in that scripture that was showed now. So it's actually God that can make that soul an offering for sin. So when Daddy was saying on Wednesday that both to will, you see, both to will and to do of the pleasure of God is God that gives it. I want us to see that scripture. It's God. Let's see from verse 12. "Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only." Hallelujah. I like this scripture. Have you seen instances where you are in church and you start making New Year resolution? I called it New Year resolution deliberately. You start saying, from today, I will be doing this. Very well. It just happened now. Praise God. But Apostle Paul is telling them here that even when you are not in that overwhelming presence, you have made up your mind to obey. Much more in my absence. You know when Jesus was saying that you are blessed if you do not see but you believe. There are some actions that we need to do when it's looking like everything is not adding up. We have separated sometimes to an extent, we have separated God's presence from our everyday lives. I'm going to market to buy meat. God is there. I'm having a meeting with my boss. God is there. I'm teaching my students. God is there. In that interaction, He is there. So what kind of laws do we exercise at that point? Now, much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Hallelujah. You know that you will not be hearing God's voice. The way it's strong here, and it's necessary. Actually, the Lord wants us to take that mind with us, even outside. Say, let this mind be in you. Okay, so if we see verse 13, let's see verse 13 quickly first. For it is God. Is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So some of us say, if it's God that does the working, so I don't have any imputes. So let's go to from verse 1. He said, God which worketh. He said, worketh in you. So that means it is a deliberate, intricate rotting. So how does that working happen? He says, it's God that works in you, how you will. How you say, I want to do something. It's God that put that work in you. For you to even decide that you want to do something while you are in the presence, that means God has done some work. Because you did not think about that last week. There are some things you didn't think about last year. So things have happened, right? Yes. But to also do, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercies, quickly, fulfill you my joy, that ye being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. What will make me drop my will? It starts with this. If I esteem my brother better than me, I will esteem God's will better than mine. That is the mind. So you start from small, small. If we don't practice it with our brethren, we were hearing it. I think it was School of Life, that you must come to church. Soul is added to church. That place is for us to learn how to drop our will. He said, let each esteem other better than themselves. Next. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. I like when he said every man. So he did not say man towards God. He said every man. So it is actually among ourselves. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Next verse. Who being in the form of God, so thought it not robbery to be equal with God. So we are seeing, John chapter 1 verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So actually, Jesus was actually equal with God. And that is how we as contemporaries, as brethren, are one. Do you understand what I'm saying? But you practice what Jesus did with God among ourselves. He said, who being in the form of God, he did not think it robbery to be equal with God. He preferred God. Next verse. But made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. He made himself. He decided to take the fall. Next verse. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So we see our Lord Jesus dropping his will per time. Sometimes this area is very dicey. It's very dicey because man loves their things. I love my things. But God wants me to love him more than my things. Jesus did not love his things. He loved the Lord and he obeyed to the end. Hallelujah. So you see that, let's go back to that verse 13. Okay, for it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So it's a work. It's a work. And you know, recent teachings has been opening our eyes to what does the work. So if you say God works, what does God use to work? His word. The word of his grace. The word of his grace. He uses it to work. So for us to come to this place where we can will and do of his good pleasure, God has to speak plenty grace to us. It was said of Jesus that he tested death by the grace of God. I want us to see that scripture. For we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. So if there is no grace of God, Jesus would not have tasted death. But some of us would just say, by the grace of God, I'm going by the grace of God. You know what the grace of God is? You know, Pastor has said it some weeks back. He said the grace of God is both a power, is also a state. So if Jesus, by the grace of God, should taste death, you know that grace of God they are talking about here is not just receive grace. It's a walking. I want us to see some scriptures beyond that. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 5. For unto the angels have he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. What is subjection? When you say something is subject, is under. That means that thing that is in subjection, the will of that thing has been put under you. But the world to come, the angels were not, it wasn't put in subjection of the angels. But why is that? You know, Daddy said something to us. He said our habitation is not like now that we come into the habitation. He said we are supposed to grow. We are supposed to grow into our habitation. So we are supposed to become our habitation. Because our habitation is not supposed to be higher than us. But where we are now, our habitation is higher than us. It's higher than us. If he's not higher than us, why is it that if lion, just lion, I did not say just to, but just lion. Lion is part of this habitation. But is lion subject to us? Praise God. But the world to come, they are raising us entities of that habitation. But it is not given unto angels. So what this is telling me is that I'm wondering why they said angels. Had he not put in subjection? Do you know that this current world is subject to angels? So the will of this current world is under angels. That means angels are higher than this current world. Their habitat, their person, their nature is higher than this current world. Now you can imagine that they want to make us somebody that can stay in the world to come, and the world to come will not swallow us up. But why did they use angels here? Let's continue to see. But one in a certain place testifies, saying, "What is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou visitest him?" You know, they have talked about angels. They are not talking about man. Let's see verse 7. "You now made him a little lower than the angels, then crowned him with glory and honor, and this set him over the works of thy hands." Next verse. "Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet." So they are talking about a person here. They started with talking about angels. Angels have some things in subjection because they are a kind of being. If you are not a man that is subject, things will not come under subjection. Things will not come under subjection. So the angels are actually subject to somebody. That is why this current world was put under their feet. Now they're not talking about another person. "And has put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all," praise God, "the former things that were in subjection then was the current world. But there's a person that they are talking about all things. So this current world and the world to come. "For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him." Why? Because those things have not learnt how to drop their will for him yet. It's one thing for me to know that you are supposed to be subject under me. It's another thing for you to willingly drop your will. The essence of the word of grace is for us to drop our will. He said, "But now we see not yet all things put under him." So when they say all things here, they're actually talking of beings that will have habitated that habitation. So you can imagine that you become a being of the world to come. You automatically be subject under him. That is where the fight is. Because man does not like to come under God. You think that you like God? I love God, though. But there are some standards. When they come like this, my feet shakes. That is the essence of grace. Hallelujah. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. Why did they use angels? Do you know angels? Daddy was saying it on Wednesday. Angels, they have will. So you just think that an angel is just flying and anything that God says they do, they just do it. It's because they put their will under. They were created, say, all things, and for thy pleasure they are. The creatures of God are meant for him to use their will. But they are supposed to give it to him willingly. That's why it's called will. They give him pleasure. If you see Psalm 103, it tells us about the angels. Psalm 103 from verse 19. "If it is not coming willfully, it will not give God pleasure. Which man loves a wife that is like a robot? Anything he says, yes, sir. Yes, sir. I want to be eating only this. Okay, sir." And she brings it. She doesn't have any attachment. There's no flow of love, no fellowship. So when scripture says wife should submit, actually, they are trying to say that I need you to pour of your essence into your husband. No normal man likes a woman that does not give him love for my being. He needs to know that this thing this woman is doing, she would have done otherwise. She chose. So you don't marry a wife immediately. Your wife grows. You start seeing her choices. You start saying, "No, my wife would have done it this way. But because I want it this way, she has done it like this." She lets go of her will. That is a person that is submitting. If we look at these angels, they let go of their will. The Lord had prepared his throne in the heavens and his kingdom ruleth over all. So we see a kingdom that rules over. This is a habitation that rules over all habitations. Now look at this. Bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. The next verse. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his, that do his pleasure. And we saw in that Isaiah 53 that you have to be walked. It's a walking that can do his pleasure. There's a kind of body that can do God's pleasure. You just don't come and just say, is this what you want? I just give you. What would have happened to Abraham? God told him. He said, is that son that you love that I want? And Abraham carried the son and willingly gave it to God. He said, the Lord will provide himself a lamb. If it's you that is the lamb that God wants, I will give him. The story of Isaac is another one entirely. That man is dead. He's a dead man. When you see yourself as I'm dead meat in presence of God, anything that God wants to do with me, like a sheep that is led to the shearers and he openeth not his mouth. Because somebody has done it before. Isaac was like a sheep that was being led. He did not open his mouth. He just said, Daddy, we are going to sacrifice now. This is wood. This is fire. Where is ram? And I said, don't worry. The Lord will provide himself a lamb. Because it has happened before, it was easy. That's why God is just in everything. He uses men to play out what he wants to do. Then he now showed them that there's a lamb that has been slain before the world began. Just that I want to show that man can do it. So if Satan even wants to come and touch it, and that's why I say, I've already slain the lamb before the world began. Hallelujah. So angels are such that they also give God pleasure. But it pleases God that it is this one that is lower than the angels that he wants to use to give him the height of pleasure. So it was not normal when an angel decided that I will. If we see that Isaiah chapter 14 from verse 12, that scripture, how had that fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How are thou cut down to the ground, which this weaken the nations? No, praise God. Look at this man. He was the word was supposed to be in subjection to him. Shall we see that angels, the word are in subjection to them. But this man was cut down to the ground because he decided to exercise his own will. He does not know what subjection is. You see, that thing called subjection, Satan has painted it wrongly in our hearts. To make it look like the deity. So that scripture says, why be subject? Ha! Amy God, I fought with it. I said, why did they do? Why was they use that word? That word is too strong. But actually, for thou art created all things, and for thy pleasure they are, and were created. Let's see verse 13 of this scripture. Put 13 and 14 together. For thou hast said in thy heart, look at what he said in his heart, a creature that was created for pleasure. See, we are created for God's pleasure. But God wants to receive the pleasure from us willingly. Sacrifices and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body as thou prepared me. What is the essence of making man? What is the essence of making man? If our will does not come under, we will not take of him. What blesses a servant? What blesses a servant is what their master is giving. What makes a servant is what the master gives. The servant does not know what it means to be a master. It's the master that will teach the servant how to elevate her. You don't know it. No matter what, this man, because scripture says in Revelation that everybody says, this is the man that has troubled the whole earth. This man did not understand that he's supposed to put himself perpetually under. Go back to that verse 13, please. For thou hast said in thy heart, I will. Say, I will. You see, this is the trouble of man. When you have decided that I want to do something, that's why daddy will say, a wife should not tell the husband, I can't do it. You see that thing? Please, my sisters, both single and married, I can't should not be in your tongue. The only thing you should say I can't for is iniquity. Thou lovest righteousness and hated wickedness. If you don't learn now how to not say I can't, you will say it one day to your husband. Sita, do so. Ah, I can't do it. You see that woman? She's just saying, I will. This thing, she's saying that, no, I'm the head and not you. If you know that you cannot submit to the man, why did you marry him? Why did you marry him? Some of us don't know that when we are called to come under the church is supposed to submit to Christ. So in the place of being a part of the church, you are showing that I'm coming under my Lord. So coming under my Lord is saying that it's these things that matters to me. I mean, there were two servants in the Exodus. The Lord decided to do whatever he wanted to do with the two of them. One was a baker, the other one was a butler. We don't know what they did to him that displeased him. But at that point, they were not giving him service. He picked one and said, okay, you are not giving me service, but I like your wine. Wine is good. Come back. There's a way you pour it, even though you offended me that time. But you, I'm watching my weight. I don't even want to be eating bread again. Praise God. He can decide what he wants to do with his servants. If we put our hearts, our place in the position that, look, my Lord can decide what he wants to do with me. It will make it easy for us to take decisions. He can decide what he wants to do with me. Sisters, your husband can decide what he wants to do with you. So that's why you need to follow a man that follows Christ. Because, my sisters, when you enter into that marriage, I tell you, he's the one that will define you. It is not as easy. What I'm saying is looking like there are some things some sisters used to do. But it has not sunk inside of them very well. So on getting married, they found a man that does not used to do it. Just give them 1 year, they will stop. So that's one of the reasons why Pastor had to come and speak to our brothers some weeks back. You all heard, oh, wives submit, very, very nice. But you, man, when the day comes and Jesus will demand from you the life of your wife, who he gave you, his sister, and say, this is my sister that I gave to you. What did you make out of her? Then you will now know that to be a head is a lot. Hallelujah. Please, back to that scripture in Isaiah 14. I will ascend. I will ascend into heaven. Not only that, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. Not only that, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. And that is says something. That even this one, why should it? That this place is for God now. What is the thing about this being? So if you now see Tower of Babel, when they say that they want to build up and get to God, they say, go and scatter these people. Because this thing that they have willed in their hearts to do, they will do it. When a man says, I will. You see, this man, if not that God has read it in his heart, he did not know that God was seeing his heart. He was judged by what was happening in his heart. You see, so the battlefield is in the heart. What makes us up? We saw it today in our reading. It's not the thing that you take in that defiles you. It's that which you bring forth, because it comes from an abundance. It comes from the heart. It comes from our will. Let me tell us something. If you say something and you say, I did not mean it, you meant it. Yes. I didn't mean it. You meant it. At least at that point where you said it. Because it came from somewhere. It did not come mistakenly. Oh, I did not mean to say it. Just admit, I'm sorry I said it. God will help me so that I will not say it that way next time. That you will trace it to the root. But that you did not mean to say it is not true. Satan mastered. He mastered how to do the will of his pleasure. He mastered how to both will and to do of his own good pleasure. Imagine saying, I will. And he took, with saying all this, was like he took a knife and pierced himself. Because all these things were working something inside of him. They were working a mastery of going against God. Man is not meant to be against God. Satan mastered. Hallelujah. No, so you can imagine this being. He's the one that taught man how to do his own will. How to do his own pleasure. Now, if we see that Genesis chapter 3, let's see it. When Eve was dissecting that tree, when she looked at it, she get that scripture. Shall you see? And the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. What is supposed to be her desire? What is supposed to be, she was now looking for where she would get pleasure. No, she's supposed to be giving pleasure. So she saw a means to also receive worship. You see, this thing that was summarized here is actually what happened to Adam. So when the scripture said Adam was not deceived, he was not deceived. Eve was deceived. Eve was showing what was happening in Adam. You know, sometimes we come after some time, I'm telling you, it will be difficult for a woman not to show what her husband is saying in his heart. You know, there are times, a man may not say anything. Say, not say anything. But there's a way the wife will act. The wife is acting what the man is not saying. He has said it somewhere. She picked it because she's the glory of the man. And she knows how to carry seed and bring it forth. So, what kind of seed are we giving? When daddy will say, what do you talk about in your closet? If you are a woman that is not mature, hey, God, evil seed has come to my house. Evil has come to my house. If you cannot cry like that, it is going to grow. It will grow. He said he will ascend. So, now let's see that. He said, I will ascend. But actually, what makes one grow? What makes one grow? What builds? Commend you to God. And to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among them which are sanctified. So what is supposed to take him to that place is grace. It wasn't given to him. What is supposed to make man ascend is grace. So that Tower of Babel was actually talking about, that is a finished work of what Satan has done. Man wants to come up, but not by grace. What is supposed to raise us? Put line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, here a little, is grace. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Another thing that Satan did not have is that, and this When man exercises his will very well, when one has used his will very well, there's something that it does to the man. The man lacks fear. The man lacks fear. Satan did not fear God. But every man should fear God. I want us to see Hebrews chapter 5. Jesus. Jesus. Jesus was. If we see verse 7, look at verse 7. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong cries and tears unto him, that was able to save him from death, and was heard, in that he what? He feared. He feared. There are some actions that if we have fear, we won't do it. You know, somebody was saying something the other day, that why is it that in church, when a brother offends us, or a unit leader, we get angry, we may stop talking to the person. But at work, your boss, I've had bosses that has made me cry before. I will close 9 p.m., 10 p.m., but I'll go back the next day. Why? I fear. I fear pakam, pakam. Praise God. It can be anything. It can be anything you attach what you like to. So, why is it that I don't fear God to the extent that when somebody offends me in court, even the offense self, you are the one that is seeing it? Because in this kind of place, I won't lie to you, all of us, we are going to God. That's the truth. So that sister that has done you something that you don't like, in the next 1 year, that sister would have journeyed out away from that place. And because of that thing that person did, you are still in one place. Why? Because you don't fear our gathering. You don't fear our togetherness. You don't fear brethren. Brotherhood. He was heard in that he feared. What is fear? Fear God. What is fear? I think there's a scripture in Deuteronomy that talked about fear God, loving with all your heart, with all your mind, and all that. Do you know, Daddy said something today. Was it Daddy that said it? Or was it, I shall know I heard it today. Or Pastor Festus, or maybe Sister Olajesu. Somebody shall have said it. About honor from the heart. Do you know that it was said of Satan that he said in his heart, I will ascend. If he honored God greatly in his heart, he would not have said that. So I'm beginning to see now that fear is not trembling. You know, there's a way we can, you now want to be talking in a low voice. I used to tell them, Ejo, speak up. I want to hear what you are saying. Low voice is not humility. That is not fear. Fear, extreme honor. If we see that from verse 1 of that Hebrews chapter 5, for every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way? Okay. For that he himself also is compassed with infirmity, out of the way. And by reason hereof he ought, as for the people, so also for himself to offer for sins. And no man No man taketh this honor unto himself. So what makes us exercise fear is because there's a honor that you want to give. You don't take it. That's what Satan was doing. So we are looking at this thing from different angles. There's the aspect of towards God. There's the aspect of towards men. That's why we read Philippians chapter 2. The Jesus that gave that aspect to God was a raised Jesus. But it starts with among men. So you see this thing of extreme honor. It starts small, small. Giving honor starts little by little. Reduction in honor also starts like that. You just find out that the thing is going down. Then you can now take some thoughts. May we not take some thoughts that will take us away. Amen. We don't even know how little that thing is. You know, there are some things that you would say that if I had known, I should not have put my hand inside this thing. Oh, I should not have put my hand inside this thing if I had known. You will not even know where it will lead one to. Some terrible things should not be said around you about some people. Before you will be cured from it. But actually, scripture says honor all men. So please, can we stop? Gossip is bad. Gossip is bad. Because the soul that you are talking with may not have enough grace. If you have an ought against your sister, call that your sister. Call that your brother and say, "Unshemi." If the person is not agreeing, carry the person and go and meet somebody. Somebody that is more mature. And say, "Look at what happened. You, at the end of the day, it may shall be that you are the one at fault." You know, I used to say it. So sometimes that's why some people will not report. Sure, you understand. Some people may not report because actually the fault may be yours. But do you know that by the time we are bringing ourselves out like that, we are being purified? We are being purified. Our will is not needed for anything. I'm sorry. Our will should be put under his will, then we'll now use it to serve him. But for us to put it under, we need plenty of grace. Amen. Daddy said you will not receive pleasure from one that does not give it willingly. And it made me remember somebody. Remember that bond servant? When his master brought him, the master, he did not have a wife. He did not have children. So the master bought him. After the master bought him, he served the master for some years. Master now gave him wife. Master now gave him. So, of course, master will not give him children. Children follow. Sure, you understand. So for children to follow, there has been some interaction. Say interaction.
Interaction.
Mm-hmm. The seventh year now came. So you now say, "You can go, but please, leave my things. Leave my things." The gift of God, it makes rich. It adds no sorrow to it. They are the things that are of God that we get on our journey. A time we come, God will now say, "Okay, I want you to go, but leave my thing with me." It's you that will now say, "No, I love the one you have given me." Do we love this life? Do we love his life? Do we love our change? You know, there's a kind of change we have come into. I'm telling you, you are not the same person that was 2 years ago. But a time we come, God will come and try it. If we come and try that, do you want to go free or do you want to stay? You are the one that will now say, "I'm not going anywhere. I love my master." You love your master. Yeah. You have a wife now. Praise God. So those are things that have been attached to us. It's you that will now willingly say, "I love my master." But actually, it's not just the master. The master's things you love also. But the master will also always give you something that is good. Is it normal? So you will now see that it is actually not normal for a man to have collected those things from his master, and the man will look away. Now imagine that you go away, that you can be free and go. You now leave wife and children. For you to have received it. So there are some things God has given us. We know that this thing that we have collected is not just going to be for now. Some things he has given us, and he will now try us. So there are trials all over the place. It was said in the scripture about a man that let go of wife, let go of this, let go of that, that he will get it back. And in addition to it, he will get eternal life. That is a man that decides to say, I love my master. Now, how do you let go of your things? It starts with you yourself. If my will has not been put in subjection, then I will not be able to put another person. Some of us are looking for wives that will submit, but we have not submitted to God. Do you think it's easy to teach somebody to submit? If submission is not our life, if my lifestyle is not under, it's difficult for a woman to submit to a man who is in these waters, and the man is not under spiritual authority. It's difficult. Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that has left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, next verse, but he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life. Hallelujah. Amen. So we need to say, Lord, I love you. You know, the issue of subjection is a lot. So when scripture says, present your bodies. So I think I need to talk about that a little. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. As you are now, Daddy described it one day. Justina, you are Justina's spirit, Justina's soul, Justina's body. You just think that the way you are walking is three people that are walking. But what happened at the four? What happened at the four was that spirit died. The little that spirit had thought soul was initially using it, but there was not a conflict. But a time came, soul mastered how not to use what spirit has taught it initially. The soul taught body. So in teaching the body now mastered very well how to go against God's will. So do you know what now happened at when we get born again? Spirit has resurrected. So as spirit has resurrected now, you know, then you are quickened. Let's use the word quickened, but still resurrect, right? Spirit is now teaching soul that. Remember, at a point you used to learn from me. Spirit is now teaching. So meanwhile, body has mastered very well how to do its own thing. So spirit now start teaching soul. Okay, this is how it is. Yield to the spirit. Walk in the spirit. It's soul they are talking to. Walk in the spirit is soul. It's not body. The soul will now be the one that is to teach the body. But the body can decide, I don't want to learn what you are. Because soul and body, they are one. So soul can reject. Whatever happens to the soul, actually the body begins to play it out. So you know what should happen to the body? The soul should take enough energy from the spirit to be able to drag the body. You don't play with your body. You don't sugarcoat it. You don't spare it. You don't spare your body. So when Apostle Paul was saying, I put my body under subjection. You see that body, that's the one that we like to play with the most. Your body should be under what your spirit has come into. If you consciously put your body under the subjection of the will of your spirit, and your soul under the subjection of the will of your spirit, a time comes, your spirit, soul, and body now becomes one. For now, they are not one. They are thinking three different things. But it is by knowledge, by learning, that you will know that this body... So, see, the soul, you can still be doing it small, small. But you see body, you don't spare it. You don't spare it. That's why some people are still masturbating till now. You put it under. Say, I put my body under. Praise the Lord. I'm just picking the thoughts, really. Let's just talk about what Daddy said will is. Daddy said will is knowledge of a way. Say knowledge of a way. Knowledge of a way. So there's a way to do it. There's another way. We have a will that has done it in another way. But there's the will of the knowledge of a way that we are supposed to follow. That is the one that Daddy said. The content of that knowledge is wisdom and understanding. So what actually makes a man to be able to put his bodies under is that the man has come into plenty of understanding. How do you come into understanding if you have not been spoken to? Do you think that you know how to do it? I like that scripture in 2 Peter, I think chapter 1, verse 2 or 3, that says, grace and peace be multiplied through what? Knowledge. So if we see that it's by grace, it's by the grace of God that we can will and to do. But what will make grace to be multiplied is knowledge. And really, there's a lot of knowledge these days. We are a people that God has blessed. If you are just coming newly, don't worry yourself. Don't bother. Just be following. Because that's how we too were still hearing it. When we encountered the water some 10 years ago, some 15 years ago, we were hearing it then, that there's plenty of knowledge, and we believed. We just know that one day we will be fine. So all of us are in the joint. Just enter and follow and be going. You will be okay. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So subscribe to the knowledge of God. Subscribe to knowledge. What can bring into subjection is knowledge. That scripture in 1 Peter chapter 3, he said that men should deal with their wives according to knowledge. But before that scripture, it was talking about women to be in subjection to their husbands. Let's see it. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. So is it not a woman that you have taught that can come into subjection? Now, if we look at it from verse 1, Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. So you now say, okay, this man is not obeying the word. That means the man has not taught. But let me tell us something, my sisters, in all sincerity, it's not good that you marry without being under a man that can teach you. You should have a head. You must put your head under. That is where you will learn this without word conversation. Unfortunately, some women find themselves in places like this. But even in the church, there are times when even the husband may say, this is what I want. And in your heart, you know that this thing, the way I'm looking at it, it may not be what God wants. But you don't nag. Part of bringing yourself under is that you don't nag. You don't start Iroja. Talk. No. You know where to go to. Then you trust God about it. Without the word, it will be won by your conversation. And sometimes you need to tell God that, God, if that is what he wants, and you are not changing it, no problem. We will go through it together. Verse 2. While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, and outside talking about the kind of woman whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel. Verse 4. But let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which in the sight of God of great price. And Daddy said something on Wednesday. He said, what one of the problem of men is that they don't know that in their soul they are women. He said it. You didn't know. In your soul, that soul needs to come under subjection. But how would the soul come under subjection? Let's see the next verse. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. Verse 6. Even Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. Please, my sisters, I'm coming back to us. Please, if you know that you cannot fulfill this one, or if you know that by faith, that you know I will not be able to fulfill this thing, it's better that you don't marry. Praise God. Now verse 7 now says something. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. So knowledge of the way is will. So you are supposed to dwell with your wife according to knowledge. You are the one that should teach her how to come under. Teach her the life by your conversation, by your words. So if we now want to see it in another way, if the man here is the spirit, then the soul is the woman. There is a knowledge that the soul should receive that will help that soul to come under subjection, under the spirit. Because if that spirit is not raised, one can never do the will of God. And to do the will of God is that your beings, your bodies. Now, that body must be given as an offering or a sacrifice. For your soul to actually become an offering to God, that soul must be subject to your spirit. But for your soul to be subject to your spirit, you need plenty of knowledge. So you see what played out here. He's trying to tell you this. Yes, in truth, a husband should have plenty of water. It's true. But in our yielding, in our yielding to the Spirit, what the Spirit has to say concerning matters, what doctrine is saying concerning this issue. Simple, you can't say, I can't. Simple. By the time you are trying to say, I can. Do you know, does that obedience, a time will come, those kind of things will be strange to you. It will be strange to you. No, those kind of words, you don't say that kind of word. A time will come, your mouth does not know how to say it anymore. You don't take that kind of thoughts. A time will come, your thinking will become more purified. Why? Because you easily learn how to take it under. So when you say, I put my body under, let us go with that mind. Beyond our physical body, which we really need to put under, part of it is also our soul. Part of it is taking thoughts. You say, put thoughts, bringing everything in obedience to Christ. Bring your thoughts under. Bring it under. Now go back to that Isaiah. We read from verse 10 again. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He had put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. It pleased him. Why? Because he was already made. You know, imagine an animal that you have been feeding. You have been feeding that animal, preparing it for such a time as this. Asu. Hallelujah. You like that one, right? You have been preparing it, giving it food. You gave it a right environment for it to grow. It does not have blemish. It's so fine. But you are preparing it for something. It pleased God that at Gethsemane, Jesus will want to look for an alternative. And say, God, instead of going to the cross, can they just behead me? Or that small goat that I want to use for that as soon as. Let's talk about it again. I will now say, please, I don't want you to roast me. I just want you to do me like this. He said, no, you need to be slain. You know, when Daddy said that, with God, you don't have an alternative. God's choice is one. Now, when God has finished preparing this lamb, and it was now time to take him to the shearer, and he did not open his mouth, because that preparation, that work that he has done inside of him, has prepared him for this time. He was raised for such a time as that. When he said, let this cup pass over me, I was thinking about it this morning. I said, for Jesus to say, let this cup pass over me, it's possible that he also thought about Judas Iscariot. I wouldn't have wanted Judas Iscariot to betray me. Can I go another way without being betrayed? Because it was said that Jesus loved him to the end. He loved him, but God, he said that so that the scriptures will be fulfilled. Scriptures has to be fulfilled. There is a way that he must die. He must be betrayed. He must be given over to the enemies, and he must hang on a tree. It is workings that made him like that. He was the choice offering, the choice sacrifice. Go back to that scripture. The choice sacrifice of the Father. And there was only one choice at that point. He was made. His soul was made an offering for sin. And he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. One reason why we don't allow God to have pleasure through us is because we are looking at now, my current dying. This thing I want to let go of is as if your life wants to go. There is a glory. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time is not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed. Can we look away from what we are letting go of? There is something ahead that we don't even know. So when you have let go of something today, and we let go of something tomorrow, and you just start seeing that your eyes are opening, that there's actually something bigger. And these things I'm letting go of, they are nothing. See, it is in our practical lives, simple little things, where we exercise our will. You know, Pastor was saying this last week, even in the place of location. That one, choosing of a partner, choosing of jobs, letting your brother have the last say. You are letting go of your will. And the pleasure of the Lord is prospering little by little. What is that thing that you want to say compared to the glory that shall be revealed? Next verse. May the pleasure of the Lord prosper in us. Yeah. And that person has to be an offering. So sometimes some people, when they encounter this, they'll say, "Ah, they are just talking about suffering." Praise the Lord. We thank the Lord. Okay. I'm suffering. But it's not that suffering that, you know, I won't say I'm lacking anything. You think you know what I'm saying? If any of us here does not eat for a whole day, you are the one that did not eat. You are the one that does not want to eat. Yes, because there are brethren that will give you food. The food does not have to come from your pockets. Yes. Sometimes to go and walk. Hallelujah. It's part of it. Praise the Lord. Amen. But what I'm talking about is things that I've allowed to have denied. Some choices that has been made so many years ago that you don't even know. You don't know. Choices. When you choose between this and this, which one should I pick? And why can't you take the way of righteousness? For that current time, it may not be palatable to the flesh. At times, when you choose the way of the Lord, it is not easy on the flesh. But it's just for a season. He said it is suffering of this present time. It is not continuous. If it's continuous, Uncle, Jesus is still offering sacrifices. Praise the Lord. That is the kind of mind that we should have. If I perish, I perish. It is an Old Testament believer that said that. And you know, they used to say something about the book of Esther, that God was not named once in that book. God was not named once. But it's that woman that said, if I perish, I perish. If I die, I die. I die here. Can we get to that point? If I perish, I perish. God, if I want to die in this thing, if you say, okay, you know, sometimes heaven will now bring something. Something may not be heaven, though. It can also be Satan. It will bring something you really love. And say, is this how you are going to be? Is this how you are going to be for the next 10 years? What should be your response? If I perish, I perish. To get there, plenty grace. Plenty grace. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. By his knowledge. The knowledge of Jesus is not cheap. The knowledge of our Lord Jesus is not cheap. The knowledge of his nature, the knowledge of his person, the intricacies, what makes him laugh, what makes him cry, is not cheap. But by this his knowledge, he shall justify many. Many shall fulfill the course of our call as a result of knowledge of the Holy. Are we going to subscribe to knowledge this morning? Let's begin to tell the Lord, Lord, I yield myself. I find grace to come under your judgment, under your choices, under that which is your way for me. That coming under will not just be a thing of words, just a thing of my mouth. It will be my life. That I choose the Lord at all times. Oh yes. You can keep me under. You can keep me under. That's my place. That is my place. I want to function as a servant, as a maid to her master. I love you, oh God. I love you. Aleke sunda ya balaba shente reshi balaba shia.
For there is a rejoicing in heaven. There is a rejoicing in heaven. There is a rejoicing in heaven. For there is a joy. Joy of heaven is that many sacrifices be raised. Is that many bodies are sent. Is that many bodies are sent. Yes, is a joy. Is a joy. For you see, I will even make you a pleasure center. A pleasure center. a pleasure center where offerings, sacrifices will arise and ascend to me. Ascend to me. For a work has been done. A work has been done. A work has been done. And it's to help you to exercise yourself in obeying righteousness. Oh, granny, tegalada. For in your daily conversation, you will offer. In your daily conversation, even as you learn to choose righteousness, as you learn even to choose obedience, as you learn to choose the way of life in every affairs of your life, sacrifices ascend. Sacrifices ascend. Sacrifices ascend. Yes, yes. You will indeed give me pleasure.
Amen.
You will indeed give me pleasure.
Amen.
Oh, for that pleasure which I made you for will ascend to me. You will give a perfect offering. For I have come even to walk in you. That which is well pleasing. That which is well pleasing. That which is well pleasing. I tell you, this is a pleasure center. This is a pleasure. Let sacrifices ascend. Let praises ascend. Let aroma of a sweet-smelling savour ascend unto me. Even in your walk, you will begin to walk anew. Blessing has descended. And let there be a flow. Let there be a response, even from your heart to me, by the work which I have done in you today. See the Lord.
We believe you've heard the voice of the Lord by virtue of the words that has come unto you. Why don't you make it a date with us in any of our meetings? You can join us on Wednesdays for special teaching with Reverend Busuyi or Labadi by 5 p.m. and Sundays by 8 a.m. at Eternal Life Embassy, 175 Adeyemi College Road beside Mercyland Hospital, Ondo. For more information, please call 0806-509-8130 or 0703-395-8818 or visit our website www.fmli.org. Remain blessed.